Praise the Lord. Whoever wrote that song sounded like he was amazed at God's love. Have you ever been like that? We ought to all be like that. It is amazing what he's done for us. We're in the book of Ephesians. Some of y'all say, y'all are going to know that book before it's over with. Your Bible ought to just fall open to that. Blessed and highly favored. We're going to talk today about filled, the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Filled. The English language is difficult for many reasons. One is we can use the same word in so many different ways, it can mean so many different things. For example, you take the word filled or full. Here's some of the ways we can use it. I'm full at mealtime. That means I'm satisfied. I don't need any more. He's full of himself. That means somebody's very conceited and very self-absorbed. We've got a full house. We don't quite have a full house, but if you say we have a full house, it means we've reached capacity pretty much. You could say, I had my fill of him. In fact, I took about all I can take of that person there. I can't take much more. Irritating. He's full of baloney. That means you can't believe about half of what he says. They're inaccurate off the wall. What's it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? If I was to ask everybody that, I'd get answers like this. Well, I can take you back to the night when I was filled with the Holy Ghost in a service or whatever. This is what happened to me. Some of you would say, I'm filled with the Spirit because I'm born again. And some would say, I don't really know what you mean by that phrase. In Acts chapter 6, the Hellenistic Jews were complaining to the apostles. They said, y'all aren't taking care of our widows. Something needs to be done about it. And the apostles said basically to them, said this, we're going to spend our time in the ministry of the word and prayer. And that's what he said. Y'all choose 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and y'all take care of this situation. Stephen was being stoned in Acts chapter 7, and he was preaching just before he gave the altar call, and the altar call was stones coming his way. Just before he gave the altar call, he said things like this, and it said this about him, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. The Bible tells us, commands us to be filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost. What is that all about? That's what we're going to deal with today in this part of Ephesians. I'm going to concentrate mostly on that. Let's look at the confusion about being filled. Filled is a term of measurement. It's a way to describe measuring something. And we measure things every day in our lives. If you're a cook, now some cooks are good cooks, they don't measure things. They just throw stuff in there and they know they can taste it and they get it right. But usually, especially if you're baking, you got to be precise in your measurements. The teaspoons, the tablespoons, the ounces, the cups, and so forth. You got to be accurate. One of my favorite TV shows from years ago gone by was the Beverly Hillbillies. And Miss Hathaway, the secretary of the bank president, she asked Granny Clampett, one of the hillbillies, how do you make that recipe or something? And Granny said this, well, here's how I do it. Here's the ingredients. You take a smidgen, and she said, what is a smidgen? She said, that's a tensy bit. She said, 3 smidgens equals a pinch. 4 pinches equals a little bit. 4 little bits equals a middling. 3 middlings equals a right smart amount. And 5 right smart amounts equals a whole heap. So that was her recipe. But we got to measure things out in cooking. If you're building in construction, you got to measure. If you don't have the things the proper measurements, it's not square and things like that, you've got a lot of problems on your hand. You create a lot of work for yourself. My granddaddy was a very hard worker. He'd stay out there in the garden all day, 95 degrees. He wore a long sleeve shirt, overalls, buttoned up to the top button. He'd stay out there all day long. He was a hard worker. Even when I was a senior in high school, we were putting up fence, and it's hard to stay up with him, and he was probably 80 years old then. But he wasn't a precise. He didn't have a lot of patience. I kind of got that from him. He liked to just keep going and going, keep going. He wasn't one that's going to do something tedious and spend an hour on doing something little. He's going to get it done. He'd always say, "Oh, shall nail the thing." And that's what we would do. We'd keep on going. But measurements are very important when it comes to building. Measurements are very important when it comes to buying. Like in groceries, we buy things by the ounce or by the pound, whether it's, you know, bananas or meat or whatever. It's usually sold by the pound. Always think back to the little story of the woman that went into her little grocery. It wasn't a big grocery store. She went into the grocery and said, "I want to get a big roasting hen. We got some company coming over, and I need a roasting hen." And he said, "Okay." And he went back, and he had one hen left, and he wanted to sell it because it was about to go bad, and he was going to have to throw it out. So he brought that hen out and put it on the scale, and it weighed 5 pounds. And she said, "Okay, I think that'll work." "No, actually, I think I want one a little bit bigger." "You got one bigger?" He said, "Oh, yeah." So he took it back there, and he came right back out with the same hen, because that's the only one he had. And he put it on there and put his thumb on the scales, and it weighed 6.2 pounds. He said, "Okay, that's better." She said, "Actually, so-and-so's coming over to the house. I'll take both of them." And, of course, your sins will find you out. But we measure things when it comes to buying things. You think about the things that were measured just today on the way to church. You looked at your gas gauge, it's measuring how much gas you got. The speedometer telling you, measuring the speed. Things like this is just something we take for granted. Some of you might have went into the bathroom scales this morning and stepped on it, was measuring your weight. One little first grade girl went over to her friend's house and spent the night, and the girl was showing her around her house, and she said, they were in the bathroom, she says, "What's that over there?" It was a scale. She said, don't get on that, and don't step on it, and don't look at it. She says, "Why?" I said, "When my mama gets on it, she always gets really mad." So anyway, we measure our weight, we measure our eyesight, we measure our blood pressure, we measure the temperature, we measure the time of day. We're measuring constantly. The word field is a term of measurement. Now here's the question. How do you measure a spiritual relationship? That's what doesn't make sense to us. That's why a lot of people talk about the Holy Ghost, and they think the Holy Ghost is it's a spirit, it's a force. But the Holy Spirit is a person. Third person of the Trinity. And even though he doesn't have flesh and blood and bones and skin like us, well, how can you measure how full your relationship with another person is, even if it's God? You either have all of him or none of him. Isn't that right? Be like saying, "I'm a little bit pregnant." Not quite, but I'm a little. Or "I'm a little dead." You can't be a little. You either are or you're not. And that's the concept we have in our mind. Well, doesn't the Bible say whenever you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit? Yes, I believe you do. The Bible says in Romans 8:9, it says, "If any man receive not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." Well, then, why do we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Why is that important if we receive the Holy Spirit at salvation? That's a good question. That's the concept people struggle with in this relationship. Be like this. I'm going to try to give you a picture. This is a bad illustration, but it's the best one I can give you. If I told you, go up there to McDonald's and get me a 32-ounce Coke, and you go up there and you get the big old, I don't know if they have a 32-ounce, but you get the biggest one and you fill it with ice and you put the Coke in it and you fill it up to the rim and you bring it back to me. Say the Coke represents the Holy Spirit. There's not 32 ounces in that cup. If you put your hand over it and pour out the Coke and leave the ice in there, you probably got about 8 ounces of Coke, even though it looked full. A lot of times we call ourselves walking in the fullness of the Spirit of God, but we got a lot of things that's crowded Him out, and we don't have as much of Him as we think. better way to say it sometimes is not how much of the Holy Ghost do you have, how much of you does the Holy Ghost have? That's the question. Okay, so let's try to describe what we're talking about when we're talking about being filled with the Spirit of God. Okay, the capacity of being filled. We're going to talk about Jesus. Here's a very unusual scripture, but it says in John 3:34, says this, talking about Jesus, For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. Okay, here's other translations. Philip's translation says, there can be no measuring of the Spirit given to him, talking about Jesus. The Living Bible says, God's Spirit is upon him without measure or limits. NIV says, God gives the Spirit without limit. So Jesus was full of the Spirit of God without any kind of limitations. He was absolutely full. Here's some things that we don't understand. It's hard for me to explain. I don't understand it, so I can't explain it, but I'm going to try. The Trinity. We can't hardly explain that. That's a difficult concept. Eternity. Here's something, I don't have any problem believing that we're going to live forever throughout eternity, even though I can't grasp it fully. Here's one that's hard to grasp. God, not only is it going to be forever, he didn't have a beginning. How can somebody not have a beginning? Can't grasp that. The vastness of this universe, I can't grasp that. They say there's between 100 and 400 billion stars. In our galaxy, ours is the Milky Way galaxy, 100 to 400 billion stars in this little galaxy that we're in, and they say there are 200 billion to 2 trillion galaxies. That doesn't make any, that, I can't comprehend the vastness of that. I looked it up because I wasn't sure. They say there are 37.6 billion acres on the earth of land. A little less than 40 billion acres of land. Now, if you counted the whole surface of the earth, it's over 125 billion because 70% of it's water. But those are numbers I can't grasp. Listen to this. A single cell in your body, a single cell has enough information in the DNA to fill up 1,600 page books in one cell. That's how much information they get off of that. So there's a lot of things about the greatness and the vastness of the Spirit of God living in us that's hard for me to grasp. But let me just give you some things. Holy Spirit was active at Jesus' conception. The Bible says in Matthew 1:18, Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost. He was active in his ministry, Acts 10:37-38. You know what has happened in Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. The Holy Spirit was completely in control of the ministry, the life and ministry of Christ. So I'm going to try to show you what it looks like being full of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus. Now, he was full without measure. There was no restrictions whatsoever. To be filled with the Holy Ghost means he was led by the Spirit. You remember when he was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist? After he was baptized, the Holy Spirit as a dove came down upon him, and God spoke from heaven. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Here's what it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, driven. Here's the first thing. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you will let him guide you where he wants to guide you. He will guide you where he wants you to go. Most of us fight against that. We don't want to go some places out of our comfort zone. We don't like this, we don't this. Those full of the Spirit are open to the guidance of the Holy Ghost. Me and my wife went up a couple of weeks ago. We were up in the mountains. And we went to a number of places and stopped. And I've always done this. I always try to get, I look up where we're going to be stopping, and I try to find the nicest restaurant in that town to take her to the nicest restaurant. Sometimes that's fine dining, and sometimes it's just the favorite restaurant in that town. It's not a high-class thing or whatever. But we were up in Brevard, Cashiers area, close to Highlands, and we were in Cashiers, and we were going to go to this restaurant that I'd picked out because of the reviews, and it was a upscale. You know, when I say upscale, steaks are $75 to $90 a piece or what, that kind of stuff. It's a place I don't shouldn't be. But anyway, so I took her to this nice restaurant. We go in there, and the more dignified and citified I try to act, the more countryfied I look. Believe me. And they go take us to the tables, got seats four, and they had all kind of dishes and glasses and plates and silverware all set in all the places. And they asked, you know, would like some wine? I said, we don't drink. So I said, you can take them glasses off and start taking this other stuff off. Anyway, a woman come out there and took our order, and then she's going to bring us a basket of bread with a nice napkin, you know, on top of keeping it warm and everything. And she brought that out, and so we prayed. I said, let's get this bread before it gets cold, have some warm butter. And so I tore into it, and we tore into the bread. Only problem, there was a little candle there. I set the napkin on fire. I was going after the bread so quickly, I forgot about the napkin. And I said, oh, goodness, we done burnt the people's napkin up. I said, well, just put it back in there. Don't say nothing. She said, we got to tell them. I said, I'm not telling nothing. And so anyway, the woman comes back to get the empty thing of where the bread was in, and she says, I got a confession to make. So I'm saying, uh-oh. She said, ma'am, we accidentally set the napkin on fire. It burned up a big hole in the napkin. The woman said, that's okay. She said, that's okay. I said, okay. Anyway, like I say, we had so many dishes and utensils everywhere on the table. She got our little bread plate, and she said, I said, ma'am, you can have this big plate. I haven't put nothing on it. She said, no, leave it there. I'm bringing the salad to put on top of that. Oh, okay. I thought, man, what a redneck. I don't know all this stuff. And anyway, went through that. I realized we don't belong here. Anyway, and got up to leave and almost fell, tripped. And I said, we come here, set the place on fire, don't know what we're doing, and almost fall going out. I told my wife, we don't really belong in places like this. We need to be eating at the deli at the Piggly Wiggly. That's where we need to be. But anyway, there's some places we feel out of place, even though we like to go there. Well, I'm telling you this. If you're full of the Spirit of God, God will take you places that are out of your comfort zone. He will say things like this. I must needs go to Samaria. And the disciples said, we don't go through Samaria. We don't like Samaritans. Half-breeds, we don't believe in them, we don't go out of our way. He's going there because there's a woman at the well that's thirsty in her soul, and he's got an appointment with her. He'll say, let's go to the other side of the lake. Why? They don't know, but there's a man filled with a legion of demons walking through the graveyard that needs help. So if you're led by the Spirit of God, full of the Spirit of God, you'll go places he leads you to. And you'll be more submissive to it. Here's another thing. If you look at the life of Jesus, what it means to be full of the Spirit of God. He spoke under the Spirit's directing. They said of him, never a man spake like this man before. You know why? Because he spoke with authority. He didn't give his opinions. He didn't give guesses and things like this. He spoke. Jesus said this, my words are spirit and they are life. His words brought life. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, you'll not only go where the Spirit leads you, you'll say what the Spirit says to say. What's people that's full of the Spirit say? Like Jesus, they'll say things like this. To the waves, lay down. To deaf ears, listen up. To dead people, get up. To demons, shut up. To fig trees, dry up. If you're full of the Spirit of God, you're more prone to say whatever the Spirit of God's telling you to say in situations. You'll go where he says go. You'll say what he says say. You'll do what he says do. He performed miracles by the Spirit's power. Every miracle, healing, and sign was done under the direction of the Holy Spirit. They accused him one day of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And he said this, "If Satan casts out Satan, then his kingdom is divided. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Now, Jesus didn't have his own agenda, but I want you to listen to this verse of Scripture right here. I'll read it to you that shows you this. He said in John 5:30, this is Jesus talking, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." He said, I'm not here doing my own thing. I'm very much in tune with the will of the Father. He went where the Spirit led him to go. He said what the Spirit told him to say. He did things that the Spirit of God empowered him to do. Now, so, being full of the Spirit, that's some of the things that makes your life look like whenever you're walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go back to our passage of Scripture here in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's just go back to verse 18. "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Okay, let's look at the Greek word. Let's define this word here. Now, I know what some of y'all are thinking. Well, you just got through saying Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost without measure. Well, we're not Jesus. I know that. Believe me, I know that. What does that mean? Well, years ago, my daughter Lauren and Adam, they bought some gifts for Crystal's children. They were small. Wesley was a little, probably 5, 6, 7 years old, 8. Brought him a remote control. It was a little snake. And the snake, you know, you've seen these remote control cars and things like that. This was a snake. And it would go okay until you got it on some good carpet. And then it didn't do anything. Why? Because of the resistance of the carpet. It's good on the hard floor. It'd probably be good on this carpet, real tight carpet. But it wasn't good on that because of the resistance. One of the reasons the Holy Spirit is not allowed to work in our lives is because of the resistance He's getting from us. Could be our doubts, our disobedience, our flesh, our sin, or whatever. Things that hinder what He's trying to do. Here's what in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, the last sermon Stephen preached also, he said this, "You do always resist the Holy Ghost like your fathers did." He's talking to the religious crowd. They killed him right after that. But he's saying you're always resisting. So, Jesus was filled with the Spirit without measure because he was sinless. The flesh didn't dominate him. He had complete faith and obedience to the Father and submission to the Father and so forth. So, let's look at this word filled and see what it means to us today, how it applies. The word in the Greek is pleroo, P-L-E-R-O-O. Now, I don't speak Greek. I'm still trying to learn English. That's what it means. Now, I took French in high school. Yeah. All I can say is comment talez-vous. That's all I can say to this day. I took a whole semester of it. We were sitting around the table one time. Jason was about 11th grade. And I was telling him I took a class in French because he was taking one in Spanish. I said, I took French, but I can't speak any French today, really. I know 2 or 3 words. He started laughing. I said, well, Jason, don't laugh. Let me hear you say some Spanish. He said, I can say more than just a couple words. I said, okay, well, say them. I want to hear. I'm listening. And he mentioned a couple words. And I said, well, give me a sentence. Go ahead and say like you're talking to somebody. Give me a sentence. He said, I can. I said, okay, I'm listening. And he stumbled through some sentence. I said, okay, now what does that mean? He said, what I said was, it was something that wasn't this, but it was something like this. The tree is on the house. I said, hey, that's good. That's really good. It'd be hard to work into a conversation with somebody, but that'd be good. Anyway, when I start talking about the Greek and everything, I don't speak Greek, but let me tell you what it means. What this verb means, or what verbs mean. In English class, we had infinitive, present participle, past tense, past participle. For example, infinitive, I do my homework after supper. A present participle is this, I am doing my homework now. Past is, I did my homework this morning. Past participle is, I have done my homework. Now, the Greek is trickier than English. The word fulfilled in this passage of Scripture we're looking at is a present passive imperative. And it means to be kept continuously filled. It's almost like if you're at a restaurant and you've got a glass of water and the waiter or the waitress comes by constantly when you've drank a little bit, they keep filling it up for you. It's kind of like that concept. Stay constantly filled, continually. Most of us like to look back at an experience in my life. I was filled with the Holy Ghost January 3rd, 1986 at this service. And we look back there. I was filled. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you can't live in the past. What are you today? What is the Holy Spirit doing in your life today? Are you just looking back at a past experience, or you have a present reality? That's what that word means, a continual fullness and filling. Now, let me give you another thing that's difficult about English, and you can see it in the Bible, it makes it difficult to explain some things. Some words in the Bible can mean different things depending on the context of what it's being said. I'm going to give you an example. The word world. The word could mean the earth. When he's talking about the world, he could be talking about the earth. For example, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He says go throughout the earth preaching the gospel. The word world can also mean the people on the earth. Not the earth itself, but the people. For God so loved the world, the people on this earth, that he gave his only begotten son. The world can also mean a system that is evil system that is against God. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you take that same word translated as world, it means three different things, depending on the context. Now, in the Greek, the word fulfilled has three different meanings. So we need to understand that. All right? It means pressure. It's almost the concept like this. If the sail, the wind filled the sail and moved the sailboat. It's almost like it was full of the wind, filled that sail and made it move. It empowered it, so to speak. And that's what the word means. The Holy Spirit empowers us. He energizes us. He gives us, he refreshes us, rejuvenates us. You ever heard the phrase, you ever use the phrase, I got my second wind? Like you were tired, you were wore out, and all of a sudden you feel like you can go again. You got your second wind. It's almost like that when the Spirit of God is fully working in your life. He gives you energy and strength and power to do what he wants you to do. Second thing that word filled means, besides pressure, it means permeates. Anybody that's ever been to the hospital, what is one of the things that makes hospital food not very good? It doesn't have any seasoning, right? That permeates the food. In other words, they can't put salt and stuff on it because some people can't eat it and all this kind of stuff, so you got to put it on there yourself. So when something permeates something, that means it infiltrates it. You can cook without putting any seasoning on it and just put it on the table, and it's not going to taste as good, usually, because it's better if it's cooked throughout it. My wife last Sunday, for lunch, cooked us a nice turkey breast. Now, I'm not big on, I'll put it this way, turkey, and I know we're coming up on Thanksgiving, my favorite turkey is fried turkey and smoked turkey, and third is baked turkey, in that order. And I like dark meat more than light meat. And the reason I don't really care for turkey breast is it's usually flavorless, and it's usually like eating chalk because people cook it to death. And I don't get a lot out of that. So she said, I'm going to be making turkey breast. I said, yeah, okay. All right. I said, try to do something to it. Give it some flavor and stuff. So she took it and put it in a brine, made up a good brine, and soaked it overnight for 10, 14 hours, something like that. And then when she cooked it, she used my thermometer and everything, cooked it to the right temperature. It was moist and very flavorful. Very flavorful. And I bragged on that. I said, that's the best turkey I've ever eaten. Because that flavor permeated it. Now, I messed up when I said that because I'll never get that again. I promise you. Every time I brag on something she makes, I never get it again. I don't know why. We used to get through with our 21 days of fast. I'd been fasting meat and sweets and things like that. She says, what do you want to eat? I said, you make good fried chicken. And she made fried chicken. I said, that's good. Next year, she said, what do you want for your first meal after the fast? I said, I want that fried chicken. No, that's too messy. Too much trouble. So whenever I brag on something, it's the last time I'm going to get it. So I don't know. I'm going to start doing like my granddaddy used to do. They could fix a beautiful meal for him, and they'd say, how do you like that, granddaddy? He said, it'll do. That was a compliment. So I'm going to say, it'll do. Anyway, so permeates means when it says filled, not only does it energize you or empowers you, the Holy Spirit of God, He permeates your life. He infiltrates you to where people can sense the flavor of your life is different. That's what I'm trying to get at. Here's the third thing, total control. When something is filled, it means it's under the control of something else. Listen to this, John 16:6. Sorrow has filled your heart. They were overcome with sorrow. It filled their heart. Luke 5:26. They were filled with fear. They were overcome with fear. Luke 6:11. They were filled with madness. Okay, when something is filled, it begins to influence, it overtakes your whole being, so to speak. Now, in Ephesians, he says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So he's going to compare being full of the Spirit with a drunk person. Now let me tell you the three ways people, when they're drinking or drunk, act. Now I've never been a drinker, but I've been around some drunks in my life. And I've been around, I can see how their personality changes. Here's three things that happen when somebody's drinking, if they can't handle it for sure. Number one, they feel empowered. You know why there's so many bar fights? When somebody gets a few things of liquor in them, they whip anybody. And they'll take on anybody. Something changes. They get very courageous or empowered because they've had something to drink. Here's the second thing that happens to people when they've been drinking. They're not ashamed anymore. They're uninhibited. You know what I mean? They may have been shy and quiet, but now when they're drunk, they're the life of the party. Man, they come out of their personality. Number three, when somebody's drinking, they can often do things that was completely out of character for them. You can tell them the next day, boy, you did this. I didn't do that. Yes, you did. Can't believe what I did when I was drunk. All right. That's what he says. Don't be like that, but be filled with the Spirit. The same characteristics happen to somebody when they're full of the Holy Ghost. They'll be empowered. They will feel empowered. They'll be like Stephen. I'm going to tell y'all the truth. I don't care if it costs me my life. They'll be like David. Look at all the boys with their uniforms on. Why are y'all letting this big giant defy the armies of God? And he tells big Goliath, you come at me with the fear a spear and a sword, I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord. You're empowered when you're filled. You're like a drunk person feels like they can whip. Now you believe you can take on the powers of hell because the Spirit of God's empowered you. Second thing, a person that's been drinking, they're uninhibited. They're not ashamed. They come out of themselves. Somebody that's full of the Holy Spirit is not timid and shy. I ain't gonna open my mouth. They'll be like Paul. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. And you allow him to control you. Paul even said things like this. He was a fool for Christ. Somebody that's full of the Spirit of God may look foolish to somebody that's not. But you're not a fool in the eyes of God. Okay, so he's describing what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm going to start winding this down. Most people that are full of the Spirit, they're more empty of themselves, so the Spirit of God is not resisted, quenched, grieved, and he's allowed to work in their life. Through Jesus, there was no limit. Through us, there's a lot of limitations often, but the less things hindering him in your life, the less flesh, sin, disobedience, the more faith, and so forth, the more he is allowed to work in his fullness. Brother Hong Yang sent me a text years ago. He says, this is how you can tell if you've died to yourself, if you're empty of your old selfish pride and so forth. When you're forgotten and neglected and you don't hurt or with the insult, but your heart's still happy, you've probably died to self. When your advice is disregarded, your opinion is ridiculed, and you don't let it anger arise in your heart, you've probably died to self. When you never refer to yourself in conversation or record your own good works or itch for praise, you've probably died to yourself. When you see your brother or your sister prosper and can honestly rejoice with them and feel no envy even though your needs are greater, you've probably died to self. The less of us, the more fullness of the Spirit of God. There's not room for us to be in control and him to have his way all the time. So he says you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. I was reading Fox's Book of Martyrs. That's not scriptural or anything, but it's a very powerful book talking about how the apostles died and how other great men throughout church history were persecuted and died. And we know in Acts chapter 12, James was beheaded. And then they wanted to behead Peter, but the church prayed for him and God busted him out. But James got beheaded. But they were given some tradition. It's not scripture, but it's tradition of what happened. There was a guy that turned James into the authorities so they could arrest him and get him eventually beheaded. And the guy that turned him in saw when James was fixing to go to be beheaded, he was totally under conviction and he gave his heart to Jesus. And he went up to James as they were leading him to be executed and said, "Forgive me, brother." And James said, "It's okay, brother." He said this, "Peace be to you, brother." And James kissed him, and that guy kissed him, and they executed both of them. To live a life filled with the Spirit of God is a different life. It's more than just a one-time experience that you just bank on the rest of your life. It's to be continuously filled with what God has and who God has to work through us, and not give the resistance to go where he wants, to say what he says, to do what he wants done. We saw it in Jesus. Does Jesus see it in us? I want you to stand with me. I want you to make your way down here to the front. We're going to have a closing prayer, really an invitation. An invitation for the Holy Spirit, not only for our church, but for us individually. She's playing a little song there, a little chorus we used to sing years ago. And really, that should be our prayer. If you really want to be filled with the fullness of the Spirit of God, not just a feeling, but the fullness of God living and walking in your life, that should be our prayer. And maybe we got too much crowded in. He's totally cramped up and resisted, and he can do very little or anything. Let's sing this little chorus. Make this your prayer. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place right here. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in. All right, we know it. Make that your prayer, sincere prayer to God for your heart. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this place. Heavenly Father, You know every heart, You know every life. You know if we're going through the motions. You know if we have a sincere desire for You to control our life, to shape us, to mold us, to make us, to impact us, so we can impact the world around us. I pray for each one here. Oh God, how we need to realize greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. Oh, how we need to realize the fruit of the Spirit permeating our life till others can say, there's something different about these people. Something different about this man, this woman, this girl, this boy. We pray, Holy Spirit, as Paul said, for us not to be drunk with wine, but be filled with Your Spirit. I pray for our church, Lord. May we be a church that allows the Holy Spirit to have His way, not only in us individually, but us collectively. We realize, apart from You, we can do nothing. May we realize in our own individual lives and as the body of Christ, we'll do nothing. It's not by might nor power, but by Your Spirit, saith the Lord. Have Your way, God. May this prayer, may we be empty so we can be full of more of You. We ask in the blessed, precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Make that your prayer every day. Fill me, Holy Ghost, to fullness.